Blog Talk Radio.
You could stand there, surrender to the cops, and still be killed.
GMG is so musical.
Hey, this is me. I just was able to see the judge. I don't really know. They got me set at a $5,000 bond. I'm still just at a loss for words, honestly, about this whole process. How they're switching lanes with no signal turning to all of this, I don't even know. But I'm still here, so I just call me back when you can.
Look, I get it in, I'm my own man. All the ladies say he flying, they don't really wanna leave him alone. I never follow the crowd, I'm setting my own trends. Baby girl, I be setting the tone. I'm a trendsetter, 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 haha. I'm a trendsetter, 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 trendsetter.
All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We are back. We are back in the house. This is WSCT Radio. As you guys know, Setting the Tone Radio. We are live today talking about Sandra Bland, who has, of course, been killed while incarcerated. And we just hate to hear that. And, of course, the funeral was yesterday. We have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of blaring opinions on both sides of the fence. You know, some people are hashtagging police lives matter as opposed to black lives matter. And we just got so much going on. But before we get into all that, I want to introduce our guest host as well as our regular. We have myself, Dictator, in his house, you know, myself, Tone. Mm-hmm. Then we have my wing woman, I was about to say wingman, my wing woman, Storm. How you doing, Storm?
Happy Sunday, everybody. I'm doing good. Happy Sunday, everybody.
Awesome, awesome. And then, of course, we have our guest host, a very special guest with us, Mr. Tristan Thomas, and he is brother of rest in peace for his younger brother, Nick Thomas, who was murdered by the Cobb County Police here in Atlanta, Georgia. Tristan, you there?
Yes, yes. Hey, Tom. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, Tristan.
So
hey, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being
here. My pleasure.
Yeah. My pleasure.
So, a lot's been going on in the news. It's just been one thing after another, and some people are saying that, of course, the whole Black Lives Matter hashtag and the whole movement is kind of a distraction, and the news is just kind of putting out their acts of violence towards blacks where it's just really a distraction. And I don't know who's white people are saying that, but if you're black, it's not a distraction to you. It's real stuff. This is real, you know, this hits home.
Exactly.
So,
well, I think what they're doing to black people is a distraction. How about that? And that's been a major distraction for years. So it's time for a little distraction because nothing else is better.
I absolutely agree. Well, you know, I guess to start off, I will say that our last episode, we had Serena Cotton and Carlos Quinones Coker on representing Rock the Peace in Rochester, New York, and the festival was last Saturday, not yesterday, but last Saturday, and I actually went up to Rochester for the event. You know, of course, WSTT, we sponsored it as well as Tony.com, the parent company, and so I went up there to represent, and I spoke on stage in regards to, you know, what Rock the Peace meant and what Rise Up Rochester meant, and it pretty much is the same dialogue where hashtag Black Lives Matter, but we were trying to target our youth because a lot of our youth, they are the ones that seem to be distracted to me. They're listening to music that
is counterproductive. They're not really paying attention to what's going on in the news, and they find themselves in peculiar situations because they just don't know.
Yeah.
So, but it was an awesome event. It was the largest turnout yet. Last year was actually our largest, and then this year doubled that one. So really excited about that and hope to do more things. But we need more programs like that all across America. We need more dialogue. We need more setting the tone radio shows. We need more radio shows like Tristan, actually, you have a show as well, right?
Awesome. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do, Tom. It's called Your Voice Matters from 2 to 5 every Sunday. It's a great show about injustices in our society.
And where is your show? How can we hear it?
It's on Highly Unique Radio. All you got to do is go to the TuneIn app and get Highly Unique Radio.
Highly Unique
Radio.
Okay, Highly Unique Radio.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm going to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to definitely check it out. And we need to network more. We need to build our network.
Right.
And a lot. Yeah, you know.
Send the people that we know everybody's link so we can keep getting the voice heard and make it get heard louder and louder until it's heard, not being heard. So the people that I know will have Highly Unique Radio and Setting the Tone Radio in their dialogue, you know, and we can make it happen some kind of way if everybody is putting in work.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely agree. Now, Tristan, just to kind of set the stage before we even get into Sandra's situation, which of course has America outraged, at least Black America outraged. Tell us a little about Nick, because of course this hits home for us. You know, I knew Nick personally, and of course you're a dear friend, and I just hate to see that it hits so close to home. But set the stage for everyone else. Let us know.
Well, pretty much Nicholas Thomas is my brother. And he was killed March 24th at the Goodyear Tire Shop in Cumberland Parkway in Smyrna, Georgia. He was actually at his job working when police tried to serve him a warrant. Smyrna police, in conjunction with Cobb County police, they tried to serve him a warrant for outstanding tickets for probation. This is misdemeanor violations as well. And I think it's summed up to $170. So they came to his job. He was actually, servicing. He was a mechanic, so he was servicing the Maserati that he died in. He actually had just gotten a vehicle and was about to pull it up and service the vehicle when the police pulled up on him. They blocked him in, got out the vehicles, tried to arrest him. He tried to get away in the vehicle. He really had nowhere to go because they blocked him in. Tried to get away a couple of times around the building. They pretty much chased him until they ultimately shot him and killed him.
Wow.
He was unarmed.
Now, of course, they were saying that, you know, he was using the vehicle as a weapon and they had to kind of dodge out the way because he was they were in fear of their lives. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that was kind of their whole premise on shooting him. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was their excuse for killing him was that they feared for their lives. They tried to run him over with the vehicle. And, you know, seeing some of the tape and just talking to key witnesses on my own, doing my own investigation, I've actually found that all the witnesses pretty much say the same thing, that he wasn't a threat to police. He was just trying to get away. He crashed into the curb, and that's when they shot and killed him. They opened the fire and killed him. Then they shot the side of the vehicle to see if he was alive with beanbags.
Wow.
And the autopsy, his autopsy came back saying that he was shot in the back. So for somebody that's trying to run you over, I don't know how you shoot him in the back. But, you know, a lot of the things the police say just don't make sense.
Right. I mean, none of the cases, they make sense.
Yeah.
You know,
and
the same excuse is they feared for their life. And does every cop fear for their life only, you know, when they look at certain people? I mean, if so, then they need to fire all the cops and retrain the people that need jobs that really want to do the job. Because you can't fear from your life from everybody.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly so.
That story sounds, it hurts every time. I mean, when you hear it, you read it in the paper, but to hear you say it, that's like, I mean, like,
yeah, it's surreal. It's home. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So now recently you said, Tristan, that the jury, they did not find anything wrong, or they didn't indict the officer. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So actually, they pretty much rushed our case because of the continued pressure that me and my family have put up. We put up a great fight. So the fact that we got so many people in the community involved, different radio stations like V103, 107.9, we got a lot of people in the community as far as even hip-hop artists involved in the movement of Justice for My Brother. So it caused a lot of attention in Cobb County, and they pretty much tried to rush our case just to shut us up. So, like, if you look at all the other cases, and I worked with other families as well, like Anthony Hill, he died a month before my brother died. That's in the Cobb County. That case is still pending. Our case was closed within 4 months. So
they live in the stadium up in Cobb County. They can't have too much pressure. That stadium, they got to spend that money on that new road they building and everything else. So I'm sure they did. They don't need no heat coming to Cobb County. So let's get rid of this. It's over. And so we can bring the people in that's going to bring money up there. That's what that's about, probably.
Well, that's what they messed up, because they messed with the wrong family. And they're saying that.
Right.
Vic Reynolds, which is the Cobb County District Attorney, he pretty much protected this officer, wasn't transparent at all with us. He, at the beginning of the whole thing, he said he would be transparent with us, let us know what's going on. The officer would not be back at work. The officer returned back to work 2 months after the shooting, less than 2 months, returned back to work on administrative leave, but was still back at work. He lied to us about that, told us that he would have transparency with us throughout the case, which he didn't. Send over to the GBI. The GBI pretty much didn't do anything. They didn't even do a type of their own investigation. All they did was go over the investigation that Cobb County did and review it. So we fought hard to get the GBI involved, and that was pointless because they work hand in hand with Cobb County. And really what I realized when you're dealing with these cases, man, it took me to actually go through this to realize that, you know, it has to be another type of entity like the FBI or the federal government to get involved, because these states, you know, the GBI and Cobb County, they work together. They know each other. They cover for
it. Right. The Georgia Bureau Investigation. Yeah, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation is going to – this is a good old boys club. They know each other. They've known each other for years.
All the way from the governor on down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They all working it together.
I know. I work for the Supreme Court. I worked for the Supreme Court of Georgia, and, you know, when I had a problem, it was almost like, hush up, black boy, you have nothing to do with this. And I actually went to a black Supreme Court justice. And
Land
she was like,
on the main
whatever.
You know, you got to hold on to your seat sometime, and, you know, you got, if you say something, then you want to mess up your livelihood for this little person over here, you know. How frustrating was it, or is it still, for your family to go up thinking, okay, we may get justice this time, and go to kind of be, not kind of, to be slapped in the face of them? How frustrating do you get? I mean behind
it's
that?
It's very frustrating, but when you're ultimately putting God first, I got a strong family, a strong father and mother that's been together for almost 30 years. You know, and my dad has a doctor's degree. Like, my parents are educated, you know what I'm saying? Come from a good family. So to them, they just thought they killed another nigga, you know what I mean? But they actually didn't, you know what I'm saying? So that's where everything comes in. We're intelligent. We actually reached out to the right sources, got the right people involved. So it's been a rocky road. But even when they closed the case, you know, we were still like, hey, you know, we're still going to keep fighting. But, you know, thank God my dad wrote a letter to the U.S. attorney. And he actually agreed to have a meeting with us. That's when we sat down with them, and they decided to reopen the case and do their own investigation.
Good.
Wow. Good. Well, thank God for that.
That's
at least for this progress.
Everybody wants to do now. That is so. That's the awesome part of it. And like you said, you guys have a different type of energy, And apparently you put taking their negative energy and, you know, turning it around with positive energy, which, you know, sunshine, you know, come through eventually. You keep pushing, and really that's what you can do, you know, for your brother's memory and your family.
Yeah,
absolutely. Hey, listen, guys, we're going to take a quick break, a very short break. We're going to come back. We're going to get on to Sandy Bland Speaks, why she speaks, what she was about, who she was, why she was apprehended, jailed, and all that, and why is this picture circulating and people are saying she's dead. So we'll be right back. America, call 646-200-0246 or visit us online, settingthetoneradio.com, and we will be right back.
I just want to be transparent for a moment. In my life, there were times where I felt like I was invisible. I smiled and laughed on the outside and cried on the inside and hoped someone would see. I dressed up to mask the insecurities of being different in people's eyes, heartbroken and hurt by people. The praying and crying and waking up to red eyes became a ritual. But one day, I had to encourage myself. I had to say that this won't always be like this. And in the morning, my joy, self-esteem, my inner peace will come. And now my smile is real. My laugh is genuine. So go ahead, cry now, but get up and dry your eyes.
When the white of your eyes turn red, and the comfort of that mattress that you lay on now feels like lead, when the memories of the one that made you once laugh now get you down, and you're running to the one that made your heart smile now makes it frown. Just know that this will pass. It wasn't meant to last. You on the red eye, the sun's about to shine. You're on the red eye, so go ahead and dry your eye. Red eye, cry. Red eye.
You're getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
It's time, y'all.
All right.
It's time. It's this thing that I'm holding in my hand, this telephone, this camera. It is quite powerful. Social media is powerful. We can do something with this. If we want to change, we can really, truly make it happen. You know, we sit out here and talk about, oh, we need the next so-and-so and this and that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Start in your own home. Start with you. You start being that person to want to make that change. So it's funny. I might, whoever is watching this, you might hear the...
All right, and that is Sandra Bland in her own words. She was
wow.
an activist. Yeah. She was out there. She did her own. She tried. She didn't know a whole lot about technology. She said she couldn't even start her own YouTube page. But she was on Facebook, and she would just take her camera phone and upload video, and she would hashtag Sandra Speaks, which is the basis of our show today, why hashtag Sandy Speaks. She would hashtag Sandy Speaks. And she would just share her candid moments. It was unedited. It was very raw. You know, sometimes she had rollers in her hair, but she would just speak her mind. And, you know, she was out there. She was out there. She was truly about more than just saying or just out there just typing words. You know, you got people out there that they will say all kinds of stuff and they'll have the sharpest words. They're keyboard thugging on the internet, but they won't go out and vote. They won't go out and picket. They won't do anything. They just go to the club afterwards, or they go to sleep. You know, they have a whole lot of lip online and have nothing else to say. But Sandra was not one of those people. Sandy, she actually spoke. And she did more than speak. She spoke through her actions. Now Tristan, there's a...
What I wanted to say to that, her voice... You know, the words that she spoke were, I mean, you had to listen, and it could incite change. And just like we know the prominent voices, black voices that have spoken out, you know, before you can get started, sometimes they try to silence you because they don't want your voice to be heard, you know, for one reason or another. But her words were powerful, those that were started. And like you said, she's telling it raw. So this is exactly who I am and how I feel.
Yeah, uncut. You got it. You got it. As a matter of fact, Tristan, from what I understand, you got a little, there's a connection between you and your family and Sandra.
Yes.
Small connection there. Tell us about
pretty
that.
Pretty much, Tone, Sandra was an activist, and she actually was in touch with my mother before her passing to actually talk, you know, to help out about my brother's case. And someone actually sent me a Facebook post from her saying, you know, it took 7 officers to arrest a man at his job, really, Cobb County, you know, and she had like over 80 comments. And, you know, she knew about the case and she was there to help. So it's just sad, man. I feel like a lot of people should really realize, man, that this could happen to anybody.
Yeah.
The fact that this lady was an activist and standing up, she knew her rights and she still lost her life. You know what I mean? So, you know, people got to wake up. I think the only way things will change if everybody just wakes up and starts helping it and stops just looking at it and saying, oh, okay, you know, life goes on. But no, hey, this could be me next. You know, I really need to stand up.
We want to keep on pushing for that change, that exact thing, Tristan. We have to keep pushing for that. And you got to be diligent. You can't give up. You can't stop.
You know, I had a gentleman who, yeah, exactly. I had a gentleman who actually said, hey, listen, I want to do something, but I just don't know what to do. He said, you know, I have a whole lot of stuff to say, but I don't know what to do. And he was being honest with himself. He said, I don't even know where to start. And so to those that are feeling like that, like, you know, I haven't done anything my whole life, why would I want to start now? Hey, it's never too late. We need to get out there. We need to, if it just means sign, you know, going to a GoFundMe account and adding $5, I don't know, and anything, just more than just talking. You know, Setting the Tone Radio is a great platform to discuss, but after we finish discussing, we're out there doing things. We're not just yapping our mouth out here. We're actually doing things. And a lot of radio shows out there, a lot of hosts, they want to, even the media, the mainstream media, they seem like they're concerned, you know, and do a Brian Williams on you. Yeah, well, I was there when Sandra was shot, you know, or killed or strangled, or I was there when Nick was, you know, but no, this is real stuff here. We are out here doing things. And I implore you to do things yourself. Just go out there and do more than just talk. Those who want to help out with Nick's case. Mm-hmm.
There's coalitions you can join. There's activist groups you can join. Farrakhan's actually having a Justice or Else. Actually, he's having October the 10th, 2015. This year, it's the 25th anniversary of the Million Man March. So he's actually got the Justice or Else campaign where he's marching to Washington. So that's something that you can get involved in. Like, you know what I mean? There's help out here and programs that you can get involved to help.
In every city, every major city, every state, there's something going on. Here in Atlanta, they have things going on. You're Googling all kinds of stuff. You're going on, I don't know, World Star Hip Hop and Media Takeout for stuff. How about you take a couple of minutes and take a couple of minutes and look at some other stuff that really matters, because it never, you know what, people never even give a care until it happens to someone they love, and it should stop, and it shouldn't start there. We need to be more proactive instead of reactive.
Wow.
So, you know, I kind of want to put that out there, and so I like what Sandra was doing.
Yeah, she sounds like she was pushing hard for something that really mattered, and like you both said, you have to keep on getting out there and do it. We can't say I'm not going to vote because there's nobody that I want to vote for. You have to still get out. Our businesses have to be involved. You want us to spend your money with you. Donate, put up posters. Your other businessmen friends, tell them to get active. What can we do? Start in your community. Start right there in the community. Black businessmen. Get some of these young boys working in your businesses. You know, teach them a trade. Teach them what you need to do out there, and we got your back as your father, your uncle, your teacher, your coach, you know. And if we all just do something, it doesn't even take a whole lot of money. It doesn't take a whole lot of time, but you can always do something. Use your voice. That's free, you know.
I definitely agree. I definitely agree. And like I said, as a matter of fact, Tristan, how can we help with Justice for Nick?
Well, we have a Nick Thomas Coalition. You actually can email me at tjmakingmoves@gmail.com. That's tjmakingmoves@gmail.com. Also, email us at justiceforniknow@gmail.com as well. And we have all different type of meetings, and we go to commissioner meetings in Cobb County. We go to board meetings. We rally, we march. So we have all different type of events going on. I actually had a march on Cobb that I was doing, but I canceled it because the FBI got involved, so there was no need to protest against Cobb as of right now.
Tristan, can I ask you one thing? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm by trade a secretary, if you want to call it that, but you talk fast. And can you do your email one more time for me? I have Justice for Nick Now, but if you could give me the first one or give us the first one again.
The first one is tjmakingmoves@gmail.com. That's tjmakingmoves@gmail.com.
Gotcha.
So T as in Tristan, J as in as in your middle name. tjmakingmoves@gmail.com. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So let's get down to the nitty gritty here. So getting down to the nitty gritty to Sandy here. So of course she was pulled over on a routine traffic stop, basically. Was she illegal lane change or something? No, actually, she didn't use a indicator or a blinker or something like that. She gets pulled over. You know, I watched the video. She gets pulled over. She's pretty sassy at the mouth. Now, I don't know if that's illegal, but she's pretty sassy at the mouth, you know.
I hope not.
She's like, hey, listen, you know, she's apparently coming from a job interview, or she was down in Texas because she's originally, living in Chicago, is it? She's down in Texas. She's going for a job interview. She actually got the job. Well, she had the job.
Mm-hmm.
And she's on her way wherever. She's pulled over. The cop asks her for her information. She gets pretty sassy with him. He doesn't like that. He feels like, you know, he's being disrespected. He decides he wants her to put out the cigarette that she lit. She didn't want to put it out. She's like, hey, it's my car, you know. He's like, you're going to pull it out or, you know, I'm going to light your ass up. Didn't he say something like that?
Yep.
You know. Yep. Pulls her out of the car, puts her on the ground, and some other bystanders recorded that part of it.
Slams her on the ground.
Yeah.
Slams her
to the ground. Yeah, yeah. Slams her to the ground.
She hit her head and was trying to tell him she had epilepsy, right? Is that what
said he did. Yeah. Yep, he indicated he didn't care.
Right.
He's like, good.
And then I understood as well that she had a deep tissue wound in her back, correct? With his knee in her back. I'm not sure if I understood, but I thought that was on one of the earlier newscasts.
Interesting.
Do you know?
Well, I'd be interested in the autopsy to see that. I'm not familiar with that part, but I know he handled her pretty roughly, and you know his thing was, hey, look, I was just going to give you a warning, but since you wanted to get sassy with me, basically, you're going to jail. And she's like, what am I going to jail for? Which I kind of want to know why, too. I'm not quite understanding what was
never
the
answers.
Reason.
He never answers.
He never did answer, yeah. And, well,
yeah,
the police department,
I'm
waiting for them to tell me.
Very, very ugly. Social media and the news is very ugly in this situation. And Tristan, what you were saying with you guys going through the investigations, these people can't lay their child to rest for the negative publicity. And she had weed in her system. She was talking smart. If it was my daughter, Tony, you mentioned one today on social media. How does a parent deal with every time you turn on anything, this is what you're hearing about your daughter, and you have absolutely no idea why your daughter is dead.
You know what? That's a good question, because my family went through the same thing. As soon as my brother was murdered, they tried to say he was a criminal. The same day, they put up all his mugshots he ever had in his life and made it seem like he was a thug and a criminal and a bad person. But we all know, all of us knew he was a great person.
He made a couple mistakes.
He was young. Yeah, but they try to make him seem like a criminal. That's what they do. They try to hurt a person's image and
reputation
and make their reputation, make them look bad so they could make it more justifiable for what they did.
Yes, that's right.
Something that they, but
this is the reason that we had to do that, basically.
Yeah, this is justification.
As a family man, you just got to remember, you know, who your loved one was and know that, hey, I mean, that's part of the reason why we fought so hard, because we wanted people to know, hey, he was a good person. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
He loved his daughter. You know, he was a good person.
Man, he loved cars, man. That kid loved cars. He was into it. I remember he's like, Tone, man, I'm going to get me this car, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm like, man, whatever. Shoot, you better slow down. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You're like, man, no, but he just loved cars. He loved the mechanics, the inside. He loved everything in and out about it. He was just a kid. And it's just sad. And I believe Sandra, you know, Sandy, I believe that she had great intentions too. I watched every single video she had on Facebook. And she always ended it on a positive note, even when she said she was a little depressed. And things like that, but she always said, hey, she had her faith. She said, you know, God was in control. You know, someone out there loves you. And I believe she believed that. And that's why she did what she did. She was out there doing videos. And I'm sure they're out there making her try to make her out to be like they did Nick, you know, criminalize her and say, oh, well, she was this wild activist. Yeah.
Right. They have just, and the part that they said, that she said out of her mouth, because when you're out pushing for a change in this world, that it looks like instead of moving closer to that change, it's moving further away. Hell, you gonna get depressed. I mean, you know, it's so frustrating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, look, we're going to take a quick break once again and try to get some of these callers if we can. In the meantime, I forgot to mention I needed to. That last song actually came from a gentleman out of Rochester, New York. His name is Laton D. Floyd. He features Serena Young and Twain McKnight and Blair M. Walker. Name of the song was Red Eye. If you just, sold on iTunes. So if you just search on iTunes for Laton, Laton D. Floyd, you'll find his album there. It's a great album. And you guys should check it out. So in the meantime, what we're going to do is, like I said, we're going to do a quick break, try to get to these callers when we get back, or at least get Big Izzy on, because he is late. But we're going to get him on. We're going to put him on blast a little bit, and since he likes to pick on me when I'm not on air. So we'll be right back after these short messages.
Youngsters, my brother, Sam. When I'm living in the past, they wouldn't last. Me pop off and first the blast. You knew my father, he was a gangster in the street. But now he's gone, me the yes I still at beat. He may rest in peace. No, I'm heading for the streets. I remember me. So many youngies in the cemetery. Seems as if I am a missionary. Show me some happiness again. I'm going blind. I spend my time downstairs. I live in bed. You know my destiny is hell. But till
la fête. My mind is so misleading, I couldn't see. I got a brain full of demons trying to break free. I know one day I'll die, but when I die, I'll be stepping with my father and the most high.
You're getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
All right. And of course, that was my boy Mavado featuring Serrani. That was Dying, and that is my track right there. Oh, man. So, we are talking about Sandy Speaks. Why Sandy Speaks? And who was Sandra Bland? What's happening? What's going on? Where she's at? Where she was? Why she's where she is? And what people are doing about it? You guys are still with us?
Yeah. I'm with you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. So here we are. Of course, she was pulled over for a routine traffic stop type of deal, roughed up by the police, ended up in jail for 3 days. And next thing you know, she's dead, and they're calling it a suicide. And of course, that's a huge controversy. There's a huge controversy going on with that, because people are saying that the images circulating the internet and on television are pictures of her dead body, not her mugshot when she's processed initially. Because of course, you know, when you go to jail, you are first processed, you know, in terms of, well, not processed, but at least the mugshot is taken right when you walk in. For the most part, you still have your regular clothes on. She was in orange clothes or something like that, and I guess they're saying that she looks dead in the image. So what do you guys have to say about that, Tristan?
I believe that she was killed, you know. I believe she was killed, and that they pretty much tried to cover it up, and just the video alone just shows that, you know, that was foul play, the way the officer treated her. It just shows that, you know, it was more to the story. I think the truth is going to end up coming out.
Wow. Definitely foul play just based off of that alone. So now we have Big Izzy on the line, who decided to join us after the fact. You about to get a pink slip after this. Big Izzy, where you at?
Man, you know where I'm at. You know, race is one of the lenses that I tend to view the world in. And that's how you can tell that, you know, stuff right here for black folks, you know, it's just never going to be the same, because we're marginalized as people. We're marginalized in the criminal justice system, the education system, the job market. We're marginalized no matter what. And I think it's just sad because, you know, being that we're marginalized as a people, we don't even have the education to start asking some of the critical questions, you know, to go ahead and really start giving us a kind of reasonable voice. You know, I just don't believe that a black woman who gets pulled over, you know what I'm saying, just because you get into an argument with somebody, that you should end up dead. I don't believe that she killed herself. And I don't believe that she was suicidal or crazy, and I don't believe that the media does any kind of justice to folks of color, you know, after any one of these national tragedies, you know, happen. And I don't believe that, you know, the criminal justice system is doing enough to go ahead and protect black folks. I don't believe that the government is doing enough to protect black people. And I don't even believe that black cops are doing enough to go ahead and speak out about this racist behavior or what they see on a day-to-day basis. And I think that a lot of white cops don't have the sensitivity, don't have the gall to go ahead and stand up to act like, you know, like the officers that our tax dollars, you know, paid them for. And I think it's sad. I posted a stat earlier. I said, you know, it was Trayvon Martin, it was Eric Gardner, you know, it was Tamir Rice, it was Walter Scott. You know, now it's our sister Sandra. I'm like, who's it going to be next week?
Well, don't forget Nick Thomas.
Rest in peace to the brother. Like, it's like, who's it going to be next week? Like, black folks, we are used to, getting treated like this. Like I said, it would be different if I could turn on the news and show, you know, heaven forbid, a black cop just busted a white boy head open and just like they left him for dead and they caught him talking smack on the video phone. That would be different. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody white could be like, oh, look at this. These guys are acting crazy. This is bugged out. You can't see it. So how is it that in one breath the media can say black men, you know, we don't know how to conduct ourselves, but yet you can't go ahead every week and show me officers of, you know, you show me video after video after video of black folks pulling folks over and folks wanted up dead in the hands of, you know, black police officers?
Well, you know, Izzy, the media right now, they're highlighting the fact that she admitted to maybe depression and things like that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to let you guys listen to it for yourselves, and you guys tell me what you think about it. This is Sandra in her own words.
Good evening, my kings and queens. It is March 1st, 2015. I want to first of all say I apologize. I am sorry, my kings and queens. It's been 2 long weeks, and I have been missing in action. But I got to be honest with you guys. I am suffering from something that some of you all may be dealing with right now. It's a little bit of depression as well as PTSD. I've been real stressed out over these past couple of weeks, but that does not excuse me not keeping my promise to you all by letting you know that somebody cares about you, someone loves you, and that you can go out there and do great things. But I want you guys to know that I'm a human. And so if there are any of you that are dealing with these same things, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, it's okay. It is okay to talk about it. I think that those illnesses are something that the African-American culture likes to turn a blind eye to and act like that they don't affect us. And they do. They really do. So I'm coming out here now, Sandy Speaks, and letting you know that, yeah, I deal with it. And some of you watching this probably deal with it too. And you have to know that it is okay. It's okay.
Hello?
Hello? Uh-oh. You know what? I'm talking and the mic is off.
Oh, Lord.
You guys are like, hello? I'm like, I'm thinking you guys are listening to me. I swear. No, so I said, okay, there you guys have it in her own words. Of course, that was March 1st. And here it is July. And she just got a new job. She actually went down from, Chicago all the way down to Texas to go interview for this job. The job is at her old college that she used to attend, and she's really big. She's really excited about this new job that she just, you know, went to the interview for. She got the job. And, of course, she's pulled over. She's roughed up by the cops. She's thrown in jail. And all of a sudden, oh, you even heard the phone call earlier. We played the phone call with, you know, her people where she's like, hey, I don't know what's going on. They got me at a high bail here, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden, she commits suicide. True or false?
False.
Doesn't sound like someone that would have committed suicide based off of her current situation. And also that video that we just heard was from March. And here it is July.
March 15th, which is a couple of months ago. Right.
Yeah.
So she was.
But here's what you got to take a look at. In every instance, right, in each one of these national tragedies, the media finds some way to go ahead and marginalize the person,
right,
to go ahead and spin their story. Right. So just on CNN, the guy who was like a cop, he was a white guy, he was a cop, he's a retired cop. He says, oh, I don't think the officer did anything wrong. It's the first thing he comes out to say. Like, why
that
do you? When are you ever gonna hear a white guy go on TV and say, you know what, the officer acted improperly, you know, this woman shouldn't have died. This is BS. They always go ahead and get somebody white to go ahead and represent the officer, right? And then here's how you go ahead and you follow their propaganda machine. As soon as they get done with that, if you have somebody black who disagrees with them, they'll have another black panelist who agrees with the white guy, right? Just like
the show that he was on, Megyn Kelly's show, which she is the biggest, she might as well be Rush Limbaugh or Neil Bork, but it was David Clark, which was the Milwaukee County Sheriff, who said this, and he said he would be embarrassed if that was his daughter because of the way her mouth, if that was my daughter, her mouth, I would have been so embarrassed. Not what the cop did, but he's also used to defending crooked cops. So you're right, they go and pull the person on that's going to irk you to death, get up under your skin, and that's exactly what he did, just like with the other bull that they put in social media and on CNN. She had marijuana in her system. She had everything except that this young lady is dead and no one knows why.
Well, I think it's sad because, again, you don't see black cops speaking up about this. There's not enough. There should be more black cops, I think, on the news every night saying, no, this is bullshit. This is not how I would have handled the situation. There should be more white cops on the news saying, yo, this is BS. This is not how I would have handled the situation. This is wrong. And this
Tristan, were there any black cops on the scene during the situation with your younger brother?
Not sure. I'm told that it was a couple, but I'm not sure.
Really? I wonder if
nobody would have known that they was there. If you didn't play a part, you can easily be forgotten. And if they were there, they probably stood back looking like, you know, a fool or something, not wanting to get involved.
And see, the situation with, like, Eric Garner and Walter Scott and even Sandy here, there's video, at least. With the case with Nick Thomas, there's no video. There's just hearsay. Oh, he tried to maul him over with a car, you know, and they feared for their life, so they shot him.
Listen to this, though. The only people who are writing the reports are the same people who you've seen on the times where you do have the video. As you see, the people who are writing the report is the people who are bugging out.
Mm-hmm.
These people, they eat lunch together. They play golf together. Their kids go to the same private school. Like, what do you think those reports are going to say? There's never anybody writing sense that says, no, hold on, wait upstairs. It didn't quite happen that way. It's always a uniform code of, no, the person that we stopped, they did something, and it just turned into a resisting arrest. Like, it should have been a quick, it should have gone on about our business.
And the video, everybody feels was altered. So if we all the powers that be, go to lunch, y'all meet me over at Houston. Let's talk about that. Now, this, we're going to do this just like the DA in Baltimore. Get another entity on it immediately while they're altering, you know, because they wanted to say, oh, she handled the case real quick. Well, it doesn't take a long time to find out the truth. If you're looking right at it, the thing that takes the longest time is when you alter it. This stopped. What happened in the second?
I think looking at this case and how it was reported, that's the one part that's very, very telling.
Mm-hmm. Because hold on. Tristan, you was going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say that these coroners need to be a separate entity than the state, the sheriffs and all mm-hmm. them, because you know, that these autopsies, they're lying on these autopsies, manipulating these autopsies to go with what the police are saying. You know what I mean? So that needs to be a separate entity. I know with my brother's case, they first came out saying he was shot in the side. Then it ended up coming out he was shot in the back. And then, you know, I feel like you really don't know the truth because they work with cops. The coroner's in coalition with Cobb County, and they're all in coalition with the GBI. So it needs to be a separate entity. For the coroners as well. And just like Sandy's case,
I saw the attorney said that the autopsy was defective, so now they got to do another autopsy. Or they probably already did, because her funeral was the other day. It was yesterday.
And how long is it taking to turn over the dash cam? Can't they just take that right out the car as soon as it happened and give it to them? Is that a process? Why is that a process?
It's all a process. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want, because they're the ones investigating. So.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I was in Cobb. I had a house over in Cobb County, and one time I was pulled over. I remember the cop, he was staring at me at Shell gas station. Now, I don't know why he was staring at me. All I had was Dorothy. Dorothy is nothing but a Geo Prism. It was a 95 Geo Prism in the 2000s, you know. But he's staring at me, and so when I pulled off, he pulled off. He pulls me over. He says, I'm like, officer, why did you stop me? You know, I'm a little more calm about the situation. He's like, I pulled you over because your license plate light. There's a little light under the license or above the license plate, which I didn't even realize. He's like, that's out. And he's like, yeah, come here, let me show you. So he's like, yeah, come on, get out the car, you know. So I get out the car, whoop de doo, look, you know, he's like, look over here. You see that light bulb there? And so I'm looking at the light bulb. He takes my head and slams it against my trunk of my car. Boom. I'm like, yo, what's wrong with you? I'm like, yo, you know what I'm saying? You could dent Dorothy doing that. What's wrong with you? You know, I probably called him a few choice words. And
which
he's
is
like,
what he to do.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, next thing you know, I'm in the back of the police car. I'm in the back of the police car. I'm like, well, I know I got dash video. You know, this dash cam video, because he's right behind me. So, you know, I call my attorney, and I'm like, hey, we got dash video. You know, let's get him. He's like, Tone. And, you know, he wasn't black. He's white. He was like, I'm going to be honest with you. They're going to erase it.
Wow.
I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, it's over. Don't even bother. Just whatever. And I'm like, don't even waste your time. So, yeah, it's a good old boys club, and unfortunately, us blacks, we don't have the arms to reach, you know, these entities that are interlocked with each other, these good old boys club, and so we have to figure out a way to still fight, and I don't know the answer to that yet, actually. It's a difficult situation. Like you said, Tristan, with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, they're going to back up Cobb County, and Cobb County is going to back up Smyrna or Marietta, and they're going to all just trade paperwork together and lose paperwork, and then all of a sudden, oh, we have nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We definitely need to be a third party.
Start putting ourselves, don't have to start putting ourselves in those positions, because a lot of them dying off, your Supreme Justices on down. President Obama, I know, just donated $1 billion to you know, building jobs in Africa, energy, things like that, where we came from, go back, and that's now one of the fastest growing countries for employment with people of color. So we have to just start putting ourselves in positions like that on the Supreme Court, in the coroner's office, in the DA's office, in the governor's office,
vote.
So we can make the decisions.
Vote.
And when we get there, be fierce about it. You got to be fierce about it. No, you're not going to pump me down. This is what we're going to do, like the DA in Baltimore. Get it done.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. The time is winding down. We're going to take just one more break. But before we do that, I want to remind everyone that Setting the Tone Radio is definitely still number one. We are, we have, 20-something thousand listeners and listens over on Blog Talk Radio here, and we're going to be moving over to an even better stream in the future. But you can listen to any of our previous shows. We've talked about police brutality a number of times now, as well as other fantastic topics. We are on iTunes, we are on TuneIn, and we are on Stitcher. If you search for Setting the Tone Radio on any of those platforms, or just even Google us, you will see that you can subscribe to any of our podcasts and automatically download, and we would appreciate that. So we're going to go ahead and take a short break, and we'll be right back to you. We're going to do our final tones and, you know, get ready to wrap it up. Let's do it.
All right.
You're getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
Hey, and we're back. And we're back. And we're back. All right, we got Storm. We got our guest host, Tristan Thomas, over there. And we have Big Izzy in his house. And we are talking about, of course, Sandra Bland, who unfortunately had a fatal run-in with the cops and killed and jailed. And they're saying it's a suicide, and we're thinking it is not. We wanted to know what you stood for and why it should matter, why Black Lives Matter, why all lives matter. And so we're just kind of on our tail end here. But before we go, we did at least want to take a caller because, you know, Setting the Tone Radio, we've been based on just taking caller after caller after caller. We had thousands of callers, or at least hundreds, or at least dozens, or at least two. So we're going to take one. We're going to take a caller. We're going to take a caller. We got Luke from Atlanta dialing in, and he's going to give us his thoughts. Well, he's going to make it quick for us because we are on our way out, of course. Luke, you with us?
Hey, I'm here, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
All right. Hey, Luke.
I'm going to try to make it quick, but even though, you know, I can talk at length about this because, you know, this situation is mind-blowing how something like this can happen in today's time. So here's my whole take on this situation. I believe that, honestly, this lady was assassinated. It had nothing to do. It's not a murder case to me. It's an assassination case. Because here we have a woman who was on her way to being a leader. And not only just and online, but she was about to go back and work in her school. She was an alumni. She was about to work for her alma mater. And I believe she was about to put herself in a position where her word was going to be even more powerful. And they weren't having this. And if you look at the whole situation, how it started, when was the last time you turned on your signal when a cop car is rushing up towards you, or ambulance, or fire truck? The first thing you do is you get out the way. That's exactly what she did. That was entrapment. That was entrapment. That was this whole situation. I guarantee you, once we get down to the bottom of it, I bet you every single white person in that police department is a member of the KKK. And I hope Anonymous or any other organization that's doing any kind of research on these people, they expose them for the pigs that they are. Because that's exactly what's going on. This was an assassination. The last time we've actually had a young woman of color, a young woman who had the potential to speak the way she was able to speak. Honestly, I can't even put my mind on it because I can't even think of the last person of my time, of this era, that was able to reach out to people the way she was. They weren't having that. This is not even a murder case. It's just straight up assassination. And you know what?
Wow.
These white folks are praying that we get up in arms. You know why? Because you know what? For decades, if not centuries, they've been organizing militias. They have militias, they have organizations where they're ready for us to try and do something so they can pull out their guns and their tanks. You know what I'm saying? So this goes way beyond just a murder case, right? This is a situation where the system, in this case, the system is really trying its very best. You know what? This system's going to die out. But they are fighting.
So Luke, let me ask you, if that's the case, if you know, it's almost like you're almost going a conspiracy theorist on us. But I'm with you.
Straight, these are like the facts all line up to it. You know, like
you're passionate about it. Yeah, definitely. Okay. You can veto the passion in you about it to the point where.
Well, Luke, now you're originally from Africa. You've called in before, and you always have something great to say. So.
Right.
Now I want to ask you. So let's go with your theory.
Right.
They're trying to basically get us into a mode where they have the right, quote unquote, to use this sort of force against us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, basically, it's a plot in order to, you know, get us to a point where we're under control completely.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, what do we do to stop it? Like we talked earlier with Tristan. That these systems work hand in hand together, and they
we don't have people in those systems to advocate for us. So we're just being tossed around as a people.
Honestly, what I honestly think we should do as black people, and this is a hard one because, you know, this is very far-fetched, but this is my ideal solution. We need to stop spending our money where it doesn't count. You know what I'm saying? We need to stop spending money where it doesn't count. Like, you know what? Think about it. That kid who shot up 9 people in the church, right? They took this boy to Burger King on their way to the precinct. Why are we still buying from Burger King? Why are we still buying burgers from Burger King when nobody from Burger King even came out and said, you know what? We do not condone this kind of, we do not want scumbags like this buying from our corporation. Like, you know what? If I was the CEO of a Burger King, I would be the first one to be like, listen, I know this is an isolated event, but guess what? I would never, during my tenure here, allow such a man to come and buy anything from my establishment. And shame on the police officers who brought him over here. Now, that's just me. We do not need to be spending our money with these folks. And
put ourselves in positions to have our own businesses.
Exactly.
So if we just need to eat Burger King, it's called Sheila King or Tone King or Tristan King, and you come visit that.
Yeah, Tristan King.
you will have your respect.
It all starts with education. Look, we need to start. We need to start teaching our youth. You know what? It starts from the very basics. You know, like if we really want to do something like that, where we spend our own money, it has to start from the very foundation. Because you know, kids in white schools, they're learning how to start their own businesses. They're not learning how to start businesses in elementary schools in predominantly black areas, aka
how to get a job.
So,
right. On our own.
They're teaching us
job.
How to be modern day slaves, basically. They don't want us to be they're teaching us how to be modern day slaves. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I used to work for the federal government. I quit not too long ago just because I did not feel like, you know what, this is not where I want to apply myself.
Well, you know what, Luke? Not Tristan, but Big Izzy, we had a conversation about this a few weeks back. I think it was called Leaders and Followers, that show.
Right.
And it was where Damon Dash was talking about being a leader being an entrepreneur and not being a worker. You remember that, Big Izzy?
I remember that video too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do? Yeah, the video, exactly. Stem from the video. Big Izzy, you there with me?
Yeah, I got you. I'm with you.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, I felt like, hey, not everyone could be a leader. You know, not everyone can be a leader. That's how I felt at the time.
I agree. Not everyone can be a leader, but we could spend wiser. We can apply our money wiser. And you know what? There are leaders among us who have more than likely the potential, just lack the capital probably, to start businesses and hire employees, black employees.
Right, because most people have something to offer. You may not be the one that started the company, but your marketing skills is what keeps my company open. Your accounting skills is what keeps it open. So be a leader in that field to help your brother or your sister make sure that they build a business is off the chain.
Yeah, you don't have to be an entrepreneur, but you can decide where you want to work and where you want to spend your money.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Luke, we really appreciate you. We've run out of time, but as always, it's a pleasure. And so just keep listening, you know, tell everybody about us, all that good stuff.
Yeah,
No problem. All right, so guys, here it is. We're wrapping it up. We said a whole lot, you know, why Sandra speaks. I think she would be very pleased with us, to a degree at least. We covered a little of what she discussed in her videos. Like I said, I watched every single video that she had on Facebook. And she was very religious, but she was in good spirits all the time. And even when she wasn't, she was candid about it. And she said, hey, listen, it's going to get better. You know, and so I believe that we should not just let her name just die in vain, just like they would like us to. I think that we need to move towards finding a way to build a foundation, you know, kind of like the foundation that Luke talked about, and as well as support our own. You know, we have Tristan here, and his brother is like, his voice is not even being spoken. They're not even talking about it in the news, you know, with Nick's situation. They talked about it one quick time, and that was it, it seemed. And CNN is not running it because they just want to move on to the next story. So for them, it's the next story. But for us, these are our loved ones. These are our people. And we have to do what we need to do in order to build a stronger foundation. Would you guys agree?
Yes, sir.
I definitely agree.
Mm-hmm. All right, all right. So I guess we can go ahead and start our final tones. I'm going to start with Big Izzy.
You know, I'm a man's man, so what I'm going to say, I hope that y'all take it in context. But you asked us what can we do about when we get pulled over and we're actually in that moment. And I kind of thought about that because I've been seeing a lot of stuff in the news about regular black folks who, you know, display some sort of anger or some sort of kind of discontent or some sort of a malice when they get pulled over or some sort of form of agitation. What can you do if you're a black man? And I want you to hear this to me. Not that I'm saying that I necessarily want you to live this kind of lifestyle, but the police are so afraid, right, of the gay rights movement that if you were to act like you were a gay dude, you would probably make it out alive versus
wow.
You would go ahead and act like you were a black man and act like you got angry with a white man harassing you and talking to you like you was crazy. They would be more afraid of getting charged with a hate crime, right, and getting seen talking to a gay dude like he was crazy, then they would taking another brother and blowing his brains out. Mm-hmm. You said that white cop looked at you, Tom, and then he drove off when you drove off. He was planning and plotting then to try
Absolutely.
To do something to you when you was in that store. You get pulled over, oh, my God, why are you talking to me like this? You mad at me because I'm listen, you act like that and you just might make it out alive.
Other you did that pretty well, man. You practiced that?
No.
That was deep. Real.
No. I don't want to either. Other than driving your car, I'm walking or I'm catching a bus. That's it. I'm telling you. It's traffic
wow.
stuff turning into, you know, it's turning into death threats for black folks. You can get into an argument with a white cop and end up a hashtag on a shirt. That's the world
wow.
that we live in today. All right, so
that's
do what
deep.
You got to do to go ahead and survive and make it home. We'll worry about it later. File your report while you're alive. And this is the last thing I wanted to go ahead and say about Sandra. You know, it was very, very telling what they did. You know, because the time that she asked to go ahead and get her call, to go ahead and call home, and then they denied her that call and they found her later, that was the time that they should be looking on those tapes. And that was the time where they went ahead and they killed that woman inside that damn cell.
Mm. That's real. That's real. And I guess that's your final tone, all that.
That's my final tone, bro.
That's your final tone. All right, what you got for me, Storm? What you got?
Well, I'm that was deep, Izzy, really, and very thought-provoking as I just... I'm here in Savannah, a place where me and my daughter, we came for her birthday, and my two sons are big, strapping, black, one place for Jackson State, one place for Southern. And I just sent them down the road at 7 o'clock before we came on. So just think where I'm at after this show. But, you know, it definitely, you know, you'll think about it up until the time they pull up to the house and call. You know, you just don't know. But, you know, I just hope, like we said, everyone keeps speaking their voice. Keep being the voice that Sandra was, you know, that all of the people that passed. But we need those voices. We need those Martin Luther Kings, those Farrakhans, those. We need the ones that's actually going to say something and help. And sometimes, just like the ones that passed at church, their voice caused a movement. But as far as the businesses and these type of forums, positive, and so many people spoke on what we can do, I think just like Tristan said, his family uses their energy toward, they turn the negative energy around to positive. Our businesses,
absolutely,
people come in your store, be respectful, make them want to come back to your business. Make sure those prices are comparative. Make sure you're telling your other business owners how what we're talking about here, what to do in the community. Hire your young teenagers, your high schoolers. Make sure when they get in college, you can always come back here, and maybe you can own a piece of this. And putting people in government with a backbone. And I don't care what you say you're going to do to stop my voice. I'm not getting ready to stop it. And when you do what you do to me, I got somebody else waiting for you, and you, I mean, the chain, keep the chain going by keeping the word out. And that's my final thought.
All right, all right. And Tristan, what's your final tone?
My final tone, man, I'm not going to say, you know, you need to act like a homosexual to survive, because I would never do that, but I understand where he's coming from. I understand where he's coming from, but I just don't agree. But I think the main thing, man, knowing your rights, like what I do is when I get pulled over, now I call my parents. You know what I'm saying? I call my parents. I have them on the phone with me while I'm going through the whole process. I just try to be respectful. And you know, we got to look at it like this, man. We're black. We're targeted. This could be our last moment. So, you know, I definitely would just be respectful, man. Just, you know, be calm about the situation and just know, man, nothing is worth dying over. You know what I'm saying? That's how you got to look at it now. Like, literally, when I got pulled over, last week, I got 4 tickets in Cobb County for having headphones in my ear, some dumb stuff like that. But the whole time, man, I just wanted to make it home. You know what I mean? So I was just being calm, just, you know what I'm saying? I had my parents on the phone with me the whole time, just doing whatever the officer wanted to do, man, just so I could make it home. Because one attitude or one sense of attitude or when you talk back is when they, you know, they take things overboard. And unfortunately, they have the power. You know what I'm saying? They're not being disciplined like that. They're getting away with murder. They have the power to kill you and get away with it, unfortunately. Now, what we could do to fight against this is everybody waking up, realizing, hey, this could happen to me. You know, this could be my brother, my sister. Sandra could have been my auntie, my sister, my mom, whatever. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Thomas could have been my brother, my son, my cousin, my father. Know that this is really going on. This could happen to anybody. So we need to all stand up. You know, like I keep saying, Farrakhan has the 25th year anniversary of the Million Man March, October 10th. Everybody needs to be there, man. Stand up. You know, call your local activist groups, your local coalitions. They have functions every week almost now. You know, go out to those, go out to the marches. Stand up, man. It's going to take for us to all come together for us to make a change and put pressure on these on these politicians and on these police officers and just the whole judicial system as a whole. It's going to take us to put pressure on them to make change.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's your final tone. That's awesome. Well, America, there you have it. Why Sandra Speaks. This is what this is about. You know, us speaking out just like she did, us making a difference more than just typing and clicking like on Facebook or favoriting a tweet. This is more than just clicking the heart on Instagram. This is actually going out there and making a difference and saying, hey, I'm not standing for this anymore. Hey, this is not right. Hey, we deserve to be treated just like anyone else or better, you know, because at the same time where we're going through all these civil rights changes, you know, during the 50s and 60s, we're still going through it right now, and it's just unfortunate for us. But we don't have to take that. I'm tired of turning the other cheek, to be honest. I'm tired of us saying or giving excuses. Oh well, Walter Scott, you know, he evaded child support, so he ran, and he deserved to get shot in the back. Oh, Trayvon Martin, well, he fought, but he was in the wrong neighborhood at the wrong time. He shouldn't have fought back. You know, he fought with someone with a gun. That's what he gets. Oh, he shouldn't have been selling cigarettes and resisting arrest. He should have, you know, up there in New York, he should have, so what? He got choked out. He shouldn't have, if he wouldn't have resisted, he wouldn't have got choked out. How many more people got to die? How many more people does it have to be someone like Tristan said? Does it have to be your auntie? Does it have to be your mama? Does it have to be your brother? Does it have to be your boyfriend, your husband? Who does it? What does it take? When do we say, you know what, it's enough? We need to stand together. We need to do more than just hashtagging and liking. We need to actually go out there and do something. We need to put our money where our mouth is. And when, like Luke said, the caller, he said, hey, listen, you need to be smart in where you put your money. You know, not saying that you should just, I mean, you're donating to things on television that you never see, or you donate into organizations that are so huge that they never will give back to you. You're donating to, you're giving money to your church. Not to say there's anything wrong with that, but you know, you're giving hundreds of dollars to your church. And I wonder if your church, I'm going a little off tangent here. I wonder if your church would help you out if something went down. Some churches will, some churches won't, but you have to be smart with your money. You need to put your money within your own community. You need to put your money in your whole talent within your own community. Once we come together as a community and we start looking at our youth and saying, hey, these are the things you have to watch out for, this is how I can help you, and take them under our wing, we support each other and things like that, that's when we can go ahead and say, hey, we're making a difference. We're doing something better for the entire thing, and we can change what's going on here. Because right now, like Tristan said, they have the upper hand. They're getting away, literally, they're getting away with murder. You know, Setting the Tone Radio, we're here to be a platform so that you can speak your mind, so that you can hear us out, so that you can feel us, so that you can think about it, all that good stuff. At the same time, you got to take that and move on with it and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do to make it happen. This is where it stops. I'm going to start making a difference as well. And I mean, as for Sandy,
is going to keep on speaking. Y'all have a great day.
And there you have it.
And that's the final tone.
You're getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
Look, I get it in, I'm a home man. All the ladies say he's lying, they don't really want to leave him alone. I never follow the crowd, I'm setting my own trends. Baby girl, I'm setting the tone. I'm a trendsetter. I'm a trendsetter. 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 Trendsetter.